This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Now, some interesting new guidelines from the Canadian Pediatric Society about active play, and even play that involves some risk. Maybe we've come a little too risk-averse as a society. What's interesting is those of us who are now parents were once kids, and we seem to reminisce fondly about a childhood of being outside, playing outside, and doing things that bring with it the risk of bumps and bruises. Climbing a tree, sledding, just generally running around, riding your bikes. It feels like that was once pretty commonplace in childhood. Maybe it's not anymore. So part of that surely is technology, screen time, kids being addicted to their devices. Maybe there's a little bit of an element of, the pandemic hangover and, some of the just stay inside sort of carrying over. But maybe a lot of it just has to do with a change in society. And now us as parents being a little more risk averse. New recommendations out last week from the Canadian Pediatric Society are emphasizing the importance of unstructured outdoor play when it comes to the development of children, their physical and mental health. So we want kids to get outside. And yes, that can entail some risk, but we need to be okay with that. Joining us for more, very pleased to welcome to the program here this morning, Dr. Suzanne Baino, an ER physician with the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto and head of the Canadian Pediatric Society's Injury Prevention Committee. Dr., good to have you with us here today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a bit about, sort of the background here. What led to the development of these new guidelines?
Yeah, I think that it's actually you summarized that very, very well in the intro. It's really this change in how children are growing up, and the growing amount of research demonstrating the optimal benefits for engaging in risky play. And at the Canadian Pediatric Society, we felt that it was time to highlight some of that research and open up the conversation further about navigating the balance between, risky play, healthy development, more of a holistic development, and balancing risks with injury prevention.
What have been the consequences of this sort of shift in approach? Because I know this is raising concern about not just, mental health issues, but physical health issues. What are we trying to fix here?
I think that's it. It's physical, mental, and social health, and a little bit of a greater focus on the holistic development of kids. Maybe a little less precautionary, and allow them to get out there, recognize risks, and be able to learn and mitigate from them. We have seen, certainly an increase in conditions like obesity, anxiety, behavioral issues, and there's a good amount of research with, moderate level systematic reviews that have really found positive relationships with physical activity, well-being, lowering perceived stress, and a whole host of other benefits from engaging in risky play.
So what about the risk side of it? Because it may be for a lot of us as parents that that's part of the challenge we have getting past that. We don't want to see our kids get hurt. So how do we need to consider all of these issues?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think we need to reframe our perception of risk in some way and recognize that we live in a world of risk. And so kids are going to need to learn to recognize risk and how they're going to manage it. And so we definitely don't want children to get seriously injured. Absolutely not. And so risky play, for example, all those things you described, the really reminiscent things of, playing at height, speed, and what have you. What risky play is not is it's not ignoring the current, the evidence-based and mandated safety measures that we have. So it's not, we're still wanting children to use helmets, car seats, life jackets, etc. It's also not leaving children unsupervised in potentially hazardous situations. So we don't want them exposed to things that they can't figure out, like street play and traffic. That's not what this is. And it's not pushing children to take risks beyond their own comfort level. So the whole ethos behind risky play is that it's individual, it's based on the child, it's their own internal sort of drive to challenge themselves and test their limits. So, you know, the conversation around risk and injury prevention really revolves around differentiating between a risk and a hazard. So risks are those situations where a child can recognize and evaluate the challenge and then decide on what they're going to do based on what they want to do and whether they think they can do it, for example. So, you know, if they're on a climbing structure or going up a tree or what have you, it's, you know, it may be different for each individual child, but as long as it thrills or challenges them, that's considered risky play. Whereas the hazard, though, is a situation where that potential for injury is beyond a child's capacity to recognize it as a hazard. So if the slide isn't anchored properly or the structure isn't anchored properly or there's a rotten tree limb, for example, a child is not going to likely be able to recognize that a hazard. And that's where adults really step in and mitigate or eliminate those hazards while allowing spaces for their kids to engage in risky play.
Does this take a position on, you know, the idea, though, of, you know, whether parents need to be there or whether it matters? Like, if kids are at the playground and the parents are there watching versus, you know, the kids are just able to go to the playground. I mean, is supervision relevant at all here, or is it just more about the activity?
Yeah, supervision is highly relevant. I mean, that has been one of the mainstays of injury prevention advice, is supervision. And I think it's, you know, very important that there's still some elements of supervision that will be based upon the child's age and developmental status, right? So young children are going to need a little bit more supervision than older children. And, you know, as parents kind of start to look into some of these strategies, if they're interested in adopting them, you know, there's opportunities that include supervising children a little bit less closely. So accepting that a child may climb higher without, you know, having your hand there restraining them or remaining at arm's length to break a fall. So supervision is important. So certainly, you know, one of the categories is playing with, you know, dangerous tools, so axe, knives, and so forth. So there is some element of supervision to that as well, but it's still allowing the child to experience that and to recognize the risk and learn how to mitigate it.
And, you know, what about the, you know, the age scale here, right? I mean, if we're talking about preschoolers, that's different than talking about, you know, 10 or 12-year-olds for, you know, in kind of in that realm as we, age range, I guess, as we talk about kids in that context, it's kind of a sliding scale, I guess?
Yep, that's a great way to look at it. The research has been done in children age 1 to 13 years of age. So one of the questions that's been asked is, what about adolescents? And you know, I think there's still a role for this in adolescence. It's almost like a philosophy, probably extends even to adulthood, really, is to, you know, be challenging ourselves and learning how to manage these risks. I think that the age is one variable, but the one 5-year-old may be very different from another 5-year-old. So age is just one variable, but their developmental stage, their personality, their physical literacy, all of these things go into what's considered appropriate risky play for them. And so that is something that is individual and unique to the child.
Well, yeah, I think it is. I mean, you know, getting back to the point about risk, and I guess maybe the way we need to sort of think about these issues is because, you know, if your kid's going out to play, it's easier to envision the bad things that could happen. The other risk, it's harder to quantify, the risk of the child staying inside, the risk of that being their regular activity, that leads to these issues we're talking about here. But maybe it's harder for us to you know, make that connection.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, exactly. So those short-term risks of danger are much easier for us to kind of hone in on than the long-term effects of, a sedentary lifestyle or simply not being in environments where you feel like you can challenge yourself. There, with these types of, you know, classic outdoor active play where kids are figuring out what they're going to do. It's the type of play that really builds resiliency. It builds confidence. It builds their, you know, it builds their abilities to communicate and cooperate with other kids when they're testing their limits, and it reduces their it helps facilitate their exposure to these fear-provoking situations, and it provides them opportunities and coping strategies, and that has been shown to significantly reduce a child's risk for elevated anxiety. So you're absolutely correct that, you know, quantifying them is hard to compare, but the overall benefits of risky play significantly outweigh the small risk of injury that can happen. And that is, you know, differentiating a risk from a hazard. So ensuring that we're not having children play in hazardous situations, but to allow them to have the risk to grow.
More on all of this, it's posted to the website. It's cps.ca. Suzanne, thanks so much for joining us here today. Really appreciate this.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.